right, guys. Welcome to the Vertical Shift Podcast, where we engage in candid conversation about life topics and real issues from a Christian perspective. I'm Justin.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tommy.
All right. Let's get started.
All right, guys. Well, tonight we have some fun things to talk about, but we've got to talk about this this eclipse thing that happened today. Where were you guys at? What, did you guys look at it?
Oh, yeah, I did. For sure.
Did you wear the special glasses?
Or
did
you have to look at it without? I tried to without, and I still have spots in my eyes.
Yeah, I tried without, and then I borrowed my 3-year-old sunglasses, and that didn't work either.
No. It doesn't work. And what I came to realize when I looked at it briefly, it's brighter than it is. It's almost like it has condensed the light to make it even more brighter.
You sound like a scientist right now.
He said even more brighter.
Oh, he said scientist, not English teacher.
So. Well, I thought it was crazy because when I looked at it, I was waiting for it to totally eclipse. And I knew it wasn't where we were at. Like it was like, what, 98% or something? And I got all the way as far as it was going to go. And everything was still so well lit with 2% of the sun. That's crazy.
You could see a dimness, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely, for sure. It looked ominous and weird, right? But still.
Yeah. It did look a little eerie.
Yeah.
Like a movie.
Yeah. But it was still, it was cool. I wasn't, I don't know. It's an eclipse. It wasn't that spectacular to me. But then I was like, somebody said it's not going to happen again until
in my mind,
2044.
It would have been better had, like, I gone outside, looked at it, and then somebody's just blaring, like, Total Eclipse from the Heart music.
Sing
and
it, Tommy. Just,
we talked about that.
Yeah.
And my wife and I talked about that because I met her. We watched it together. It was like a little tailgate date. It was fun. And someone said that the eclipse time is like 4 minutes and some odd seconds, which ironically is about the same length of that song. So you could play that song while it's happening. But
that's awesome.
We could have driven, 2 hours
right
west and saw totality.
And camped out in a Walmart parking lot.
Yeah. For 4 minutes.
My in-laws live in Arkansas, central Arkansas, and we could have had a place to stay, but I didn't think about it until today. Like this morning, I was like, man, we should have went.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah. I feel like it was still, I didn't think it was important enough to go, but then as I was watching it, I was like, you know what? That would be really cool to see. And I've seen it in photographs, obviously. But one thing it just kind of made me realize is just in awe of how the planets and how just everything rotates. So it was a pretty cool experience when you think about it like that. And like, it's not random objects floating around.
Right.
Anyway. So.
Well, I mean, you get another chance again to do this 2065.
You did that math quick.
I did.
You just put me out there.
He majored in math.
I did.
Yeah.
That's right. He did.
Yeah.
How old will you be, Jeff?
I'll be the same.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll help each other get back in the truck for the tailgate aspect of this again.
We'll probably be at a power chair or something.
Or by then, y'all be wearing those big, thick sunglasses when your eyes are dilated.
Yeah, the blue blockers. We don't even have to get the ones from Patriot Bank anymore.
That's awesome. Gosh.
That's awesome. All right. Well, I don't know about you guys, but the stage of life that I'm in is crazy busy, crazy busy. And, our topic for tonight is, man, how do we live this life for the Lord? How do we pursue Him with all that we are when everything is pulling at us in 1,000 different directions? And so, I kind of wanted to, share where you guys are at right now in this stage of life, what's pulling at you, and then let's talk about how do we navigate this and pursue the Lord when all this is going on. So I'll let you guys go first. So, Justin,
you're up.
Yeah.
Ironically, I think, I finished up my master's in December, and that was a season, where you're constantly busy. There was, family, there was work, there was school, there was, small group stuff, all the things.
No time for friends.
No time for friends. Y'all know that. I keep telling you no. But what's funny is like after that season, I'm like, oh man, well after that, I'll have more time, and I did for a period, but then like it fills back up, and it's with different stuff. So right now, current state, it's, still work, family, church, all those things, but and then there's sports because we're in the spring. So right now I'd say it's just, it's a different kind of busy. And so you're constantly feeling like you've got to adjust,
mm-hmm.
but you also feel like, man, we're adjusting every week.
Yeah.
Versus like a long adjustment plan. Yeah. So,
yeah. I think Aaron and I had the conversation that, you know, one time of like, hey, after this busy season, then things will settle down. And when it didn't, because it filled back up, to your point, Justin, with something else, like we can't say that anymore. Like, just because it's busy now doesn't mean it's not going to be busy later.
Yeah.
And so how do you safeguard against all those things? And, you know, I remember it was probably 3 years ago now, somebody told my wife, I was like, well, you just need to learn to say no to things. And she's like, I'm not even saying yes to things that are optional. Like, these are just mandatory life things that have to happen. So, yeah. So what do you do with that? But Tommy, where are you at besides sitting in your recliner with your foot massager?
Definitely doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the...
Tommy's got it the easiest of the three of us right now.
In what way?
Kids,
I mean,
probably stage of life.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that, because just for the same reasons you're saying, you fill that up when something mm-hmm. goes away, you fill it up with something else. The same with me. So my kids are a little older. Well, Jeff, we have kids the same age, but then you have other more kids,
right.
Like a, you know, whole daycare over there, but it's, they're all your kids.
They are. They're mine.
So, my kids are a little older, a 17-year-old son, a 13-year-old daughter. Hello, if you're listening. I asked my daughter, hey, you listen to our podcast? She's like, no. You have a podcast?
13-year-old girls.
Yeah, you got to tell her it's a podcast with the hashtag in the front.
That's right.
Yeah. Then it's cool.
So we've definitely gone through busy seasons with them. My kids are very involved in a lot of extracurricular activities. My daughter played travel volleyball. We owned a horse, and she rode horses all the time. My son has pretty much tried every sport, baseball, dirt bikes. You know, and he's big into FFA. So there's events that we, you know, had gone to, that we go to, stuff with that. So there's still some of that, but we're coming into where they're getting a lot more independent.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say it still doesn't mean I'm less busy.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And when we talk about, you know, we only have so much time in a day. And what I fight against is, what do I give up right. in my day to fill it with something else?
Yeah.
And, you know, not proud to say that sometimes my neglect is on the most important thing.
Oh, sure. It's interesting how that happens, because, you know, Justin and I have had this conversation before where, like, life gets busy and we're like, okay, I think I need to step away from teaching, like a men's group or a connect group or whatever at church. And we're like, why is that the first one that we think of, you know, because it is heavy. It is a lot involved in it. Yeah. But why don't I give something else up that doesn't matter as much, you know?
Well, it's like, well, I don't get paid to do that. But the payment is
all right,
a different. Lot greater.
Sure.
Well, and to that point, like, why is it the first thing? Because I think the natural thought is, well, if I give up that's taking up time, I could do something that's kind of passive and just like mm-hmm. mind numbing and a hobby, you know, like go play right. a little more golf, and you don't have to really think to do that. And, you know, that's just in the moment time. That's not time spent throughout a week to prepare. And
right.
so I think, you know, I've struggled with that,
yeah.
you know, for sure.
Yeah.
And going back to the busyness too, and I relate to Justin, we talked about this in a previous podcast. We talk about it all the time together, though, is the busyness of school and doing that while you're working and doing that a little later in life. Justin was a master's. Mine was finishing my bachelor's degree. But that time period was pretty hectic too, because it was any air quote free moment, I had to be putting that into mm-hmm. the schoolwork. Mm-hmm. Even if I was, you know, not that I got behind, but wanted to stay ahead and kind of be ahead a little bit to have a future free time, mm-hmm. you know, and then that free time gets picked up with something else. Even if it's, hey, intentional, I got to take my wife out to dinner. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're giving up something else to do that.
Right.
And, what I've have been learning more recently than before is to reprioritize the areas that are most important mm-hmm. and not have those be the first things that get taken off the list. And that means spending time with the Lord and spending time with my family. Mm-hmm. Generally in the past, those have been the first things mm-hmm. to go mm-hmm. so that I can then meet another commitment that I had for someone else or for something else mm-hmm. that had little to no value.
Well, I find it has value or we wouldn't do it, right? It looks different because we talk about this a lot too, in the sense that like I will go out of my way to help a complete stranger with something because they need me. They're grateful for it. Whereas if I do the same thing for one of my kids, they might even, you know, be bothered that I didn't do it the right way for them or whatever, you know. So there's a validation, there's an affirmation that we get from those outside of that inner circle that sometimes we chase after that because we don't get it, you know. So I don't know, those are interesting things to look at. But, you know, I know for me, like my life is it's awesome. I have to say that off first. But it is crazy busy. So we have five kids. I have a 17-year-old, 15-year-old, 12-year-old, and twin now 5-year-olds. And so it's you know, saxophone lessons, piano lessons. They're in a play. There's gymnastics.
Gymnastics is travel, like.
Yeah, there's traveling for gymnastics for my daughter. I have four boys, and my daughter's the incredible athlete.
But like the twins are like the twins are like worth four people.
It feels like it at times for sure. It's a lot, you know, and there's a reason you have kids when you're younger too, but we adopted them when, you know, I was in my 40s. So, yeah. But
I want to say I had a conversation with Justin's wife the other day. We were talking about your youngest and doing the math on mm-hmm. how old you're going to be.
No.
Oh, she tell you?
Yeah, okay. We've talked about it before. like on one end of the spectrum, we look at our oldest, we're like, oh man, we only have so many years. And then we look down to the youngest, we're like, man, we're going to be how old when he's 18?
50?
Yeah, ish, yeah.
Way.
Yeah.
Guess how old I'm going to be when the twins graduate.
I mean, way older, but your life isn't mine.
I mean, your 60 is his 50.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It has to be. But yeah, and then, you know, those are all things that are just at home, and then you throw in ministry and missions and men's discipleship and children's stuff and counseling, and I mean it's a lot that goes into it, and I find myself getting overwhelmed, and you know, we're a one income home as well, and so one income home with five kids, and that income comes from a ministry position, which we're blessed here, you know, for sure. But in today's cost of living, you know, it's a struggle. So I have to paint on the side. And if we want to go on vacation or do anything as a family like that. So, yeah, there's a lot of sacrifices that are made, a lot of running around on this particular season in the spring with all these things going on. You know, I find my wife and I are high-fiving each other as we, you know,
pass.
As we pass, and she takes off with one crew and I stay at home with the other and vice versa. So yeah, it's crazy. So what do you do in those situations when you're so busy and you know that the priority is you got to pursue the Lord and you got to love your family well? How do you do those when it looks like that, when it feels like that? So that's
I can give you some examples of how not to do it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you ignoring those or putting those on the back burner is definitely not the right answer.
Right.
I know from experience. And even in those times of busyness, when you're neglecting the things that are most important, when you first start doing that, when you first start neglecting those things, you may not notice a difference or a negative impact.
Yeah.
But over time, that starts a potential new habit that takes you further away
sure.
from those things. And the next thing you know, you're winding up and you and your wife are wondering why you're not, you know, happy, you know,
yeah,
or whatever, you know. It's just, and that's an extreme, maybe an extreme sure. example, but it, highlights the importance of putting the most important things in place and not losing sight of that, because we get so complacent. I get so complacent so easily because I'm distracted.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's easy to justify doing what you can. I mean, just the, hey, let's just survive this moment, this time. And to your point, well, what happens is you come out of that busy time, but you stay in that real stagnant state.
Yeah.
To your point, you create these bad habits instead of finding a way to thrive in the busy and keep priorities. So,
and I wouldn't say that I've figured it out yet. I'm not perfect in that area. That's an area that I'm still growing in, trying to be more intentional in that. Have made some progress. You know, I'd say early on in my career, it was a lot of career focused stuff, and I could justify it by, hey, I'm providing for my family, I'm advancing in my career, and it's, you know, I'm doing what I have to do as the head of the house to provide for my family in a way that I didn't have these things growing up. And, you know, all the while, they're not going to remember kids and our spouse. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to care about your title, you know, and the paycheck or the accolades at work. You know, they're going to remember the times you spent with them, intentional times you spent.
Yeah. And I'll say that's hard for me. It's really hard because I feel like there's always a list somewhere, right? It's either at church, there's things I could be doing. There's things at home that, you know, I was trying to put up a barn door that I made before I came, you know, up here tonight. And, you know, wall anchors wouldn't fit. And
wait. You made a barn door?
Yeah.
Out of wood?
Yes.
I mean, you crafted it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He sounds so surprised.
Well, you got to remember, Tommy's like a wood making, woodsmith snob. So anything you say made, he's going to judge.
Did you use Pat's shop?
I did use Pat's shop.
Okay. I just knew the reason I was asking that, Justin, because I knew this man doesn't own any tools.
I do own tools.
Oh, you do?
I do own tools.
Oh, okay.
I just don't have a place to put my tools. Right. So it's just kind of scattered.
Is that that exercise gym in the way that's in your garage?
It serves as, you know, it helps me hold the wood onto, you know.
We'll talk about that later. You might want to sell that to me.
No.
Okay. All right.
But he might have a blender.
That's right.
You know, I think too, when you talk about like what things do you implement, I mean, honestly, and knowing when I haven't done it well or right, that's clear. But what I will say is there has been a good season of, like, I know I'm spending time with the Lord in the mornings. Because if I don't do it in the morning, like, the day gets away from me. Just gets crazy.
Same. I do it in the morning.
And then, you know, so there's that personal time. There's preparing for small group stuff. So it's like, hey, if I'm not doing that, then there's nothing that we're walking through that Sunday. Right. So, like, that accountability of, like, other people being in the group and knowing that you can't just show up and go, okay, so we're just going to talk or we're going to have a potluck, you know?
Right.
And so that's been a really sweet time for the past couple of years now. And then, you know, with Aaron, like, we're good. We spend a lot of time together. Like, I'm very protective of that time. But also, like, what I've noticed in this is, like, in all of that, where I'm not as good is with friendships. And, like, I know that, you know, we're friends and there's some other friends, but some selective, you know, others. I'm kidding, Jeff. You know, but I do notice that, like, you know, there's not a lot of focus I put on that sometimes because I justify it with going, well, I'm so exhausted from doing all these things. And, like, to go to that game or to go to this thing, like, you know, and I really talk myself out of it sometimes. And I know that's an Achilles heel I have.
Well, I mean, I told you our schedule. So, I mean, when we have a free evening, my first thought is, oh, we could have somebody over. And Aaron's first thought is, this is the only time we'll have together. And I was like, oh, you're right.
I'll build a barn door.
If that's the case, then when are we ever going to get to hang out with people? And the truth is, it's just the balance, man. It's trying to figure all that out. It's tough. I mean, anyway, but I think, you know, for me, I know early on, if I sat down and I thought about all the goals I wanted to accomplish in all the areas of my life, like it's like 10 pages long, you know, of things and sub things and all of that. And that is, that just cripples me instantly, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I remember a friend of mine telling me, hey, pick three things. This is what you're going to work on this year. Do these three things, do them really well, and see what the Lord does with that versus mm-hmm. trying to create the perfect life and how it's supposed mm-hmm. to play out. Pick three things and do them well, because I've had a tendency to overextend myself and get so frustrated because I can't do all of it that I don't do any of it. Yeah. And that's a real danger.
Or, you know, I've even simplified it at times where like, I'm going to pick these few things. Maybe it's not three, but just something that I feel is manageable, right. Three, five, whatever, yeah. depending on the size of the things, or the time commitment. But also I've wrestled with like, even our culture is like, hey, any downtime you have, go do, keep mm-hmm. building, keep going, like right. go, you know, and you kind of get into this trap where you're kind of like you're building your own little pedestal, if you will, of mm-hmm. all the things that you're either chasing after or the things that you want. And we justify the wants right. and it sacrifices things that are important to us, like family, you know, the Lord, our kids, like whatever it is. Tommy, like you were talking about all the accolades. So like the big question that keeps going on is like, how do you do life well, but then not lose focus,
right.
and not calling out Christians and believers, but like even more so, we should be focused. And mm-hmm. I know I wrestle with that a lot because, you know, I hate to be at a point where you're distracted so much mm-hmm. that you look back and you go, I'm like, man, I have not had like some sweet time with the Lord.
Right.
Like I did at insert whatever season in your life where that was there.
All right. So here's the thing. All right. So this is a great point, but how do you embrace an opportunity of something that's maybe mundane in your life that you have to do now, right? It's just part of the things, but you can shift your perspective, right? And change the way that you're viewing that time or using that time, that you can say, all right, I don't have a ton of time, but I can do this while I'm doing this. For example, on my way home, I had to change the way I viewed going home from working all day to, hey, this is going to be my time to sit down, relax, take a breather or whatever, to I'm going home to my primary ministry. Like I need to go with the same enthusiasm, same energy, same planning to my family as I do coming to work and giving to other people. And When I changed that, like I now on my way home, I'm thinking of ways that I'm going to serve my wife because I know she's been at home with the kids all day and engaging my kids, you know, because, you know, when they're little, Justin, you haven't quite experienced it yet, but you're about to real quick. But like when they're young like that, you feel like they're going to be with you forever. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my goodness, I only have 4 years left with them before they go to college, or 3 years, or now I got 1 year left with my oldest. And they start to slip through your fingers a little bit, and you want to cherish that time and you want to make the most of it. And so kind of looking at all those things and figuring out, man, what can I do now? How can I engage yet still be responsible, you know, with my time and how I need to still provide for my family? I still have to do all those things. So, you know, what does that look like? What are some things, mundane things in your life that you're like, okay, well, this is what I do now. When I'm having to do this particular thing, can y'all think of anything?
Well, I like what you're talking about, though, just the drive home and the mind shift change that happens and preparing yourself for the reality of going home versus setting yourself up with an expectation that's not going to, you know, that's probably not going to be met, you know?
Yeah. How many times have you planned to go home and relax and you didn't get to, and then you're frustrated at everybody?
And then
and
when you're trying yeah. to throw the baseball to your kid or whatever right. he wants to do, you have a bad attitude.
Right.
He knows or she knows.
Right.
Or you walk in expecting something, you know, you expect the house to be quiet and clean and it's loud and dirty.
Right.
And you're immediately in a bad mood.
Right.
And that's what I was going back to, like talking about no value, worrying about that mm-hmm. and setting yourself up and thinking about that is there's no value at all in that. And so changing your mind frame from that to, you know, to this is how I want to serve my wife. That was huge for me to change what I thought was going to happen when I came home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think too, it depends on what season you're in too, you know, cause you know, every time I always think about the people that are younger in our church or our mm-hmm. small group that, mm-hmm. have little ones or newborns, like, you know, it's going to be hard to think about coming home from a long day or whatever you're doing. Right. Especially if your wife's staying home, you know, during that period of time where you just have the baby, like, man, that's a busy time, you know, and then it does change as they get a little older. And you know, it's not mundane, but I can tell you, like, when my oldest, Grayson, really wanted to do football, mm-hmm. you know, like at one point I'm like, okay, kind of the time after shutting down the laptop and like between dinner, you know, I'm like, okay, a little time to decompress. My head's been going all day. But when he comes up to you and he's like, hey, Dad, you know, I really do want to do flag football. So I was thinking maybe we can run some routes outside. And mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, at first, I'm going to be very honest. Like, at first, I'm like, how long do we have to be outside? You know, it's like, you know, how long are we thinking? You know, but what's cool is, like, the more he pressed it and wanted to do it, and I go out there, like, you see him growing and developing. And right. then, like, the unprompted, like, you know, Dad, thanks for, you know, being out there. It's like, man, it just melts your heart. And you're like, yeah. and it does, it shifts your perspective. Like, man, yeah. I will go out there every single day
right.
if you want to.
Yeah.
So it's little things like that, that then set me up to also think about it for the next two coming up, mm-hmm. you know, the middle one and the little one. Right.
Yeah.
So,
and what about those that are listening that are now working from home where before you kind of had a decompression mm-hmm. period of driving, you know, and commuting mm-hmm. both to the office and home, and now your home is your office and your office is your home. For me, I've had to make the mental disconnect from the two. So a separate office space from the living space. Mm-hmm. And during the day, during my work day, preparing my mind for after work mm-hmm. and being intentional with shutting down, being intentional with leaving that computer and office and shut the door and moving into family time or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's a little different for me now. My kids are older, so they can kind of feed themselves. I mean, we do dinner, we cook dinner. So yeah. that's another mundane thing that we can try to do differently is start cooking dinner together, trying to get our kids involved in that. My wife set up this program, for lack of a better word, our house to get our kids involved with the general busyness. And so we have this, this pegboard, and she put jobs in an envelope, and inside that envelope was the money, and all of the different job options are there, and they can go pick what they want. And there's a dollar value associated with that job. So they go and pick the envelope and go do that job. And that money was theirs. And so, you know, it could be there was doing the dishes, there was mopping, there was all these different house chores, but it got them involved. And then there was a little incentive for them, you know, to earn some money too with that.
So was the money in the envelope yeah. when they picked it?
Yeah.
So they could get the money and not complete the job.
But that's why they don't do it anymore.
I mean, clearly you'd know it wasn't done, but sure. I was just thinking, that's where my head goes.
There's a lesson there for that, though. This is a little bit of
everybody's learning. You
know, a little bit of trust there.
And there's consequences.
Exactly. I mean, also, you know, Dave Ramsey, we're putting everything in envelopes. So if anybody was just put it up there. But I'll tell you this, though. Maybe there's a light for you guys that have young kids. If you train them now, they start doing their own laundry. Our kids do their own laundry. Oh, we don't touch their laundry.
Aaron created a chore list, man.
Matter of fact, they do their laundry more than I do my laundry. And they are, you know, of course they have a place to go, and people, yeah. you know, who, you know, they would dress up for whatever.
Well, I'll tell you this, Tommy, too, kind of going back to, you know, the way that we look at things differently and shift things around. But I remember when we first got the twins and just how hard it was, you know, initially. They were preemies, and having to feed them every 3 hours, even throughout the night, like, we were just exhausted. And I remember that, I mean, there would be times where I would want them to play, just go to bed, you know, just go to sleep. And I would try to get out, and then one would cry, you know, and I'm like, ah, you know, because I just wanted to go watch a TV show or something, you know, just relax for a minute. And God was just like, man, I have given you these two gifts. Instead of trying to rush out of here, why don't you just stop for a minute and just pray over them? Let that be what you do. And stop being in a rush to get out of here and go do something that's of no value, you know? And so just little things like that, that, you know, the Lord used. And, you know, my wife is really good. And I remember just feeling overwhelmed and frustrated, you know, and I was just like, I told her, I was like, I do more than most of the men I know, you know, like, oh, I'm working hard. And she was like, when did they become the standard? And I was like, oh, good point.
What men were you referring to?
I mean, I wasn't talking about you, Tommy.
Oh, I know.
And I think you touched on something, man, because, you know, even to the nudging of like, hey, pray over them, you know, the twins,
yeah,
you know, go to sleep and all that stuff. I think that's where it kind of points out that, like, if we're being honest, like, we're naturally selfish.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It can be covered up or under the guise of like, mm-hmm, I want to just go watch a show and let my mm-hmm mind go numb. But like, you know, behind all that, at the core, it's like there's some selfishness.
I want to do what I want to do.
Yeah. And I always think about Jeremiah, yeah, you know, 17, where it's like the heart's naturally deceitful and wicked. So even in the littlest things,
right,
it can be very selfishly, yeah, motivated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we get distracted so much that we miss out on the blessing that's right in front of us, or potential blessing right in front of us. And it very much resembles, so funny how the Bible just, it's written thousands of years ago, and it just applies in so much of everyday life and all of our walks. And just the story of Mary and Martha and how one is busy, one is focused. I mean, is that not just the perfect example of any of us?
Okay. Yeah.
Which one would you be?
Yeah.
Right,
I mean,
now.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, well, you know, and to your point, there's different seasons of that. And when I'm not being Martha, I feel so disconnected in all of the other parts of my life when I'm not focused on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I have to continuously remind myself of, is that my morning needs to start with preparing my heart mm-hmm for my day. And
I think it's harder for men than it is for women to be still and be quiet.
Oh, dude, I can't. I mean,
that's hard. That's a hard discipline, just to be still and listen to the Lord. And so I feel like that's, you know, and I was talking with Justin about it earlier, you know, I mean, I feel like there's some people that just are just so laid back. Life is just, nothing gets them riled up, you know, and part of me envies that. And the other part is like, well, I could use your help, you know, like, well, why don't you step it up a little bit, you know, and get over here. Not everything can be that chill, you know, but, anyway, in all of this, kind of looking at it, going back to the Mary and Martha story, I wanted to share this one because it's pretty cool and it's near and dear to my heart. But, you know, we were missionaries in Colombia. We were there, 3 years at this point, probably 2 years at this point. And
can I, sorry, just to go back when you shared, When people will hear your story, they're going to hear you went to language school in Paraguay and all that. So this is after that, and you got stationed in
Colombia. So Journeyman was Paraguay. Yeah. Yeah, I was there for 2 years. And then this was, we went back after I was married. So Aaron and I, and then we just had Jason Titus at the time. So just two young boys, 3 and 1 when we left. And so we go to Costa Rica for a year, and at the end of that, we find out that Aaron's pregnant with our daughter. And so we get to the hottest, most miserable place on the planet, on the Amazon. And she's 5 months pregnant. And so she can't go out to the village and do any of the ministry. She has to stay at home with the kids, and where the electricity goes out every day and you have to go get water. There's never, you know, anyway, it's a hard, hard place to be. And, you know, she's like, I can only live vicariously through what you're experiencing. Like, I would go out to the village and have these incredible experiences. And she's just like, oh, this is so hard, you know? And so it wasn't until the end of those first 3 years that we were on the field, we were getting ready to come back to the States for just a short stateside. And actually a group from the church came down, and two women were coming on it, and it was time, you know, she was able to leave our daughter, with our, our missionaries, friends there, colleagues, and go out for the very first time. And we go out there, and they're going to do a women's ministry event. And so we're out there, and she's just like, she's just doubting herself, you know. Learning a language is hard. Making friends, all this stuff is really challenging. And she just was like, man, nobody's going to come. Like, it's on a Sunday, so we got Sunday morning service. We got a Sunday night service, and she wants to do this women's ministry in between it. She's like, nobody's going to come three times, you know. And it's rainy season, so the village is separated into three hills. So, I mean, you've literally got to take a little canoe to get to the church. And anyway, they went out, invited everybody to come, and the village is like 300 people total. And so they invited all the women to come. And anyway, at 2 o'clock is when they were having the event. And sure enough, at 2 o'clock, the bottom just falls out. It starts pouring. And Aaron's just like, man, nobody's going to come. And about 2:15, she looks out, and women dressed in their absolute best in canoes paddling across to get to the church start coming. And there were about 45 women in a village of 300 that come.
Wow.
And filled up the little church there, and she starts sharing with the ladies from the church about the story of Mary and Martha. And she said, let me just ask you all this question. She said, I know what it looks like for me to sit at Jesus' feet and just listen and learn and study. She's like, you guys have a hard life in this village. She's like, what does it look like for you? And this lady raised her hand, and she was the teacher in the village. And she said, you're right. She said, we've got a lot to do. We have busy lives. She said, there's a lot that we could be doing right now, but we don't have a lot of opportunities to learn new things about Jesus. So for us, you're Jesus, and we've come to sit at your feet. Mm. And that just, I remember that just breaking my wife. That you talk about a perspective shift. She said, you know, at that moment, she's like, I may not be able to share my stories. I may not be able to be funny. I may not be able to do all the things that I could do in English, but I can memorize God's stories and share them. And those are the most powerful anyway. And so, you know, it, once again, it's just getting back to those basics and sharing the truth and sticking to those priorities and doing what we know we have to do. And sometimes that comes with sacrificing friendships, right? Like, Justin, I'd love to hang out with you, but I haven't had an evening with just my wife, you know? So if I have to pick, sorry, you know? And that's kind of where you were at, you know, with school and all the things. And, you know, we get it and encourage each other when we can, but those are chapters that are difficult.
Yeah. And I think too, like what I remember thinking about that season, and even now, like with different, you know, activities and things going on, and right, the guys that I have such a close friendship with, y'all included, to be able to hang out with, he made the cut,
man.
You know, y'all have different schedules. Mm-hmm. So the stars right. don't always align or there's this perfect scenario. Right. But what I think I've come to, realize too is, sometimes like those seasons are also seasons where it's like, man, like what I might be looking for in some of those friendships and mm-hmm. community, and those are all important. It almost forces me to remember to keep going back and desire the Lord, because even right. in those seasons where it feels a little crazy and hectic and you're not hanging out with people as much as you'd like to, like you can still be built up yeah. and bring your stuff to the Lord and then Him meet you there. And so that's always been a cool thing. And I kind of saw more of that through that school season too, because it was very, very busy, very crazy. And the constant in all that was doing the things like I talked about before. That kind of built up a good habit and routine. So,
yeah, I think, you know, for me, kind of looking at all of the responsibilities and things that I have to do, I just kind of shifted from the fact that rest is not really an option, but I can do all of these things really well. I can have a good attitude. I can use them as teaching moments. Even if I go on a painting job with my older boys, y'all come with me. Let me teach you how to do it. Mm-hmm. Be responsible in those things. Save up for a vehicle, those types of things. Just trying to find ways to teach and implement. And my oldest, you know, I've got a year and a half left with him before he goes to college, which is crazy. So, you know, we meet on Tuesday nights now, and man, we're having such a sweet time just studying the Word together and just talking about real life issues. And so finding those opportunities and seizing them. And right now I have promised the twins they got fishing poles for Christmas, and they are dying to go fishing. They fish in our 3-inch deep creek in the backyard. So we're going fishing this weekend.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And to all that, like the underlying thing, what I hear you saying is making those things purposeful, mm-hmm. you know,
intentional living.
Yeah.
Going home and washing the dishes just to love my wife. Mm-hmm. Not with a bad attitude. Not like, why are these not done? I know we've traded places enough, you know, which I think is healthy. You know, if one works outside the home all the time and one's at home, swapping roles for a minute mm-hmm. helps you appreciate the other person and realize what all they do all day. Yeah. So just going home and just not walking in with any expectation except to serve and to love my family.
Yeah.
I think that goes a long way too. So, Tommy would participate, but he's checking the, NCAA men's championship score right now.
I still have a horse in it.
So. Oh, good gracious.
Go Tigers. Go Tigers.
Yeah. Not that horse.
No, yeah. Okay. Not a different horse. Yeah.
No. So Tommy's sad. His team's losing and he can't focus right now.
What's the score right now?
It is 56-40 UConn. They're up 16. It's not going to happen, Tommy. Purdue's losing.
It's all right.
It's okay.
I don't care.
You know, you're not very good at choosing the team that wins.
Terrible.
Oh goodness. But you know, going back to the team that does win, to Justin's point, like we've talked about this often, I have yet to meet anyone that lived for the Lord, pursued the Lord with all that they are, and got to the end of their life and I was like, man, that was a waste. I can't believe I did that. A lot of people have done the opposite of that. Regretted life choices, not pursuing the Lord, not being obedient, and regretting that. So, man.
Don't wait till the end of your life to come to that.
Or don't think, oh, well, I waited too late now. I can't, you know, I hear that too. Mm-hmm. Like I've done messed up.
I'm glad you said that because I just want to say that if someone out there is listening that maybe their kids are older now and they didn't, you know, maybe they came to the Lord later in life, or they realized that they didn't do the things that they wanted to do to lead their children in a way, and they're older. It's still not too late.
Right.
It's not too late to mend a broken relationship. It's not too late to...
It's not too late to go to somebody and just apologize.
Yeah.
Just, I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't do this right.
Even in that, there's a witness and a testimony.
Man, yeah.
You know, a sense of humility that, like, you know, if you were to think about your grown dad or your mom or a parent, right, and they're coming to you and telling you that, and then they're also living it out, and it's not just asking for an apology and they haven't changed. Like, if there's a change, like, that's a huge testimony. So I love, Jeff, that you always look at it from all angles, too, you know, and Tommy. So, yeah, great point.
Yeah. So I'm thinking in all of these things, you know, for me, and we've talked about this a lot too, as our men's group, that, you know, it's important to have accountability. It's important to have, you know, a connect group. It's important to have a men's group, you know, something that you're connected
women's
with.
Women's group. I mean, if you're a woman, having other women,
having other people speaking in your life. For sure.
Absolutely. It's critical. You know, what is it? There's a saying, you are the company you keep, and those types of sayings that we hear, but there's so much truth to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the reason why, you know, God designed the church and how he talk about the body and all the members are there with a purpose, and look at our own bodies and every member of our own body has a purpose. That is such a real picture of how it truly is life-changing when you start to experience that.
I 100% biblically get how we're all part of the body, but I always think about, like, what if I'm the pinky toe?
Well, how do you know you're not?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you're definitely an elbow.
What if you're the pinky toe
that
nail?
That needs lotion.
What if you? Oh, no, we're not gonna get on that. What if you're the pinky toenail?
I don't know.
But is that worse?
I'm gonna do my best.
There's a purpose. There's a purpose for the pinky toe. There's a purpose for the nail. Yeah, there's a purpose. Saying.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You're part of the body. Well, that's all that matters. So, are we being used? Are we being obedient? Those are the things. So, listen. It is time, guys. Sorry, we have to close this episode out. But we will come back to this because pursuing the Lord is a lifelong journey, and it's something that we need each other for. We need encouragement along the way. So we hope you're encouraged tonight to really pursue the Lord, and maybe you've identified with some of us and just being in a crazy, busy time in your life. And so we just ask that you take the time to pause for a minute and just see if you can shift some things around and look at things a little bit differently and make those mundane things a priority and an opportunity to be intentional.
Yeah. And look, check out the description of our podcast. There's an email address down there, and it's for a reason. We want to hear from you. And if you need, you know, someone to talk to, or you have something going on, email us. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to, you know, share something with you if we need to, but just know that is an opportunity that's available there.
Absolutely.
So, and let us know what else we can talk about, other types of topics that
come
up.
What do you want to hear about?
Yep.
So thank you guys for tuning in. Appreciate you guys. Talk to you later.
Total eclipse of the heart.
Oh, my word.